If you will please take your Bibles tonight and let's turn together to the book of Ruth. We're continuing our study on properly understanding God's sovereignty and His providence. And we're looking at the account that's given to us in the book of Ruth concerning how Naomi responded to all the events that were in her life. And basically, she on two separate occasions said that God's hand was heavy against her, that God had dealt bitterly with her. And you get the sense there that she believes that she has been the object of God's punishment in some way. And she basically is pushing her two daughters-in-law away from her. How do we know that? Because she told them both, go back to your fathers. Go back to your fathers. You don't want to be with me. If I were to get married today and I had children, would you wait 18, 19 years for children for me? No, you wouldn't. She makes this claim that they need to stay with their parents. She's going back to the land of promise. But Ruth chooses to go with Naomi back to the land of Israel because she doesn't buy into the statement that Naomi has made concerning her God. Because Ruth has a completely different take on this particular situation. And I bring this up because it's important for us. It's very easy for us, just like the disciples did, when they saw this man that was crippled from his birth, what sin did his parents commit? Remember what they said? That is our normal response as human beings. God's judging him because of something that the parents did. What did they do? Now, automatically, that makes God seem like a bully. And He's not. Now, does God judge sin? Yes, He does. And we have many examples in the Scripture. And so we automatically jump to that conclusion. And by the way, how did Jesus respond to His disciples? Whenever they questioned Him about this man that had been crippled, what sin did his parents commit? They committed no sin. God allowed this to happen for the purposes of God Himself. Because there was going to come a day in his life when Jesus would come and would raise him up. Amen? You talk about the manifestation of grace. Now, was it easy all those years for that man who was crippled from it? Obviously not. But to say that God was somehow punishing this man, no. That God was judging this boy for the sins of the parents, no. Because Jesus said it was not the case. We have to be careful because Naomi comes to the conclusion in her mind, she's lost her husband. She's lost her two boys. And in many ways, many biblical scholars kind of compare her to Job. What did Job lose? He lost his family. 10 children died. And he lost everything that he possessed. And so there was this unbelievable thing that happened to Job. In Naomi's case, she says in chapter 1 that the hand of the Lord has dealt very strongly against me. Verse 13, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Not only was she concerned about the fact that she felt God had brought this into her life, but also had brought this pain into the lives of her two daughters-in-law. Verse 13, she's upset about that. So, these are human responses. But she was wrong, wasn't she? She was wrong. Do you know that we can be wrong? Ooh, yeah. Some people think they're right all the time. I have learned so many times through the years that I have been wrong about people. I have been wrong about things. And you have to just fess up. So I was wrong. I was wrong. Why? Because we're not God. We just have to learn to be patient and be careful. Amen? Be circumspect That's what God said. We're very quick to judge things immediately and pop out our answer. Boom! Yeah, that's it! I got it! And then we find out later we were dead wrong. Are we doing the reverse? Back over here? I wish I hadn't said that. Have we ever come to that place? No, most times in pride, we just push that out of our mind. You know, God's given me unusual light and abilities to be able to discern things. Occasionally I'm wrong, but there's no need to talk about that. Yeah, right, yeah. We need to. We need to look at these circumstances in Naomi's life and realize that she was wrong. And she comes to that place too in chapter 4, by the way, where she does a little rewind. Remember the old VCRs? We were talking about that before the service. My dad's VCR, I think, which was a 1984 model, finally died. And they don't make those anymore. And we were talking a little bit about when we used to put them on rewind. You hear that little sound going backward like that? We need to do that, Christian. Back it up and say, no, wait a minute. I accuse God of something that He was not guilty of. Lord, I'm sorry. How many times when something comes into our life that causes grief and pain and anguish, the first one that comes out of our mouth that the problem is with is who? We won't say it, will we? It's God. God allowed this to happen to me. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? Now, wait a minute. Do you know that some things are just caused by consequences of our own doing? Yeah. Consequences of our own doing. And so we immediately point the finger at God, and very rarely do we come and say, oh, you know what? The problem may have been me. Now, Naomi, she says, God's hand has been heavy against me. And I am grieved, she uses that word, verse 13. I am grieved for you, girls, that God's dealt heavily with me. Because you've had to pay the price too. But Ruth does not buy into this. There must be some other explanation. And guess what, folks? There is. There is. This was the result of God's purpose and plan to bring Naomi back to where? The land of promise. Amen? Bring her back to the land. All these circumstances were meant to move her when she got word, hey, there's bread in Bethlehem. Word got back to her, and she says, I'm going to go back. She tries to push the girls off. You go back to your families. That would have been horrendous for Ruth, as it was, I'm sure, for Orpah, that she was sent back. She rides out of Scripture. We never hear about her again. But Ruth, we hear about. Because she determined that she was going to go. And she says, what about Naomi's God? And your God shall be my God. So this God that Ruth says is going to be her God must not be this terrible God that Naomi seems to be picturing here. But rather she sees something different. And praise the Lord for Ruth. She understands and knows it's God's providence. If I go with Naomi, I'm going to the land of promise. By the way, Moab is present-day Jordan. Jordan is basically a third-world country. All right, it's never figured prominently in world history. But Ruth left the land of Moab and came with Naomi, and God begins to blossom her life. Isn't that wonderful? It just begins to blossom and grow and things start happening. This was all part of God's providence. This was all part of His sovereign will that she should be in the line of His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't ever underestimate God. God has mysterious ways of performing His will. Amen? I found the lyrics to a song that I I've heard many, many times, but some of the verses are very helpful to understand a little bit about God's mysterious ways. William Cooper, who himself had his own battles with depression and struggles because of his physical makeup, wrote this poem, which has been put to music. It's called God Moves in Mysterious Ways. Listen carefully. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. You think about the beauty of a diamond, but where do you go to find them? You've heard that expression, diamonds in the dust. How many diamonds have you found in the dust lately? Where do you find diamonds? You got to dig for them. He's put them there. You want to look for gold, you got to dig for it. You want to look for silver, you got to dig for it. You got to mine for it. God's put it there. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Isn't that a different way of looking at God's providence? Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Last verse. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. Now, this is the important part, folks. He hits on something here that we need to stop and look at. Who's the interpreter of God's work on earth? God is. God is the interpreter. He's the one that knows the ins and outs of every decision that He makes. Do I know all that? What did Job not know when he was sitting there scraping his skin because he was covered with boils from head to toe? He was covered in ashes to relieve the pain, to draw out the infection. What did he not know had happened up in heaven? He didn't know that Satan had gone to God and said, I can get your servant to curse you, God. You just let me at him. And God said, all right, you can't kill him, but I will let you have my servant. Nowhere do we find in the book of Job that Job curses God. Isn't that amazing? In all that he went through, we don't have any record that he cursed God. He didn't fall to that thing, but Job had no idea of that discussion that went on in heaven. And by the way, you don't have any idea. I don't have any idea either. Who's the accuser of the brethren, we're told? Satan. Revelation 12 tells us that. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so there are things that are going on in the darkness, mysterious things, but God will one day interpret them and we will know. Until then, we've got to be careful before we start assigning motives to God. We don't want people to judge our motives. Well, then why do we do it to God? God, your hand has been heavy on me. I'm so sorry, girls, that God is punishing me and you're being affected by that. Ruth did not buy that. Ruth stepped back from that and said, there must be something more to this. And who's the first one, Naomi or Ruth, to benefit of God's sovereign plan? Ruth is. Chapter 2, verse 1. She goes to a field and her hap, whose hap? Ruth's hap, was to light upon the field of Boaz. Why? Because she had a little bit better grasp that this God is so good compared to what I've had, compared to the gods of my people. Remember, Naomi was raised in Israel, and what did they think of the Moabites? They were distant cousins That was the sinful family over there. You know, not that we would ever do that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a sinful. She probably grew up listening to all the stories about how bad the Moabites were. Then they go to the land of Moab and they have all this trouble and it all just gets reaffirmed in her own mind. Oh, this is a land of terrible problems and stuff like that, and God's hand has been heavy upon me. Here's Ruth growing up in Moab. She's heard about the God of Israel. She's probably heard the story of where the Moabites came about. It was from an incestuous relationship, was it not? Yeah. And they were the ones that were despised by the Israelites, but Ruth did not fall into that trap. She came to trust in the God of Naomi. She had lived long enough in that family to realize something, that this God is gracious. He's good. And I'm going to stick with Naomi. I'm going to go with her back to the land of promise. Bethlehem, the house of bread. She knew that much. The house of bread. Folks, it is possible. It is usually highly likely that most of the things that we say about God are not right. They're tainted with some kind of problem that we have with God. Brenda was telling us the story of a young lady with two young children, married, who over the Christmas break got some serious bacterial infection. And they took her to the hospital and it turned into gangrene in the lower extremities of her legs. And she had her legs amputated this weekend, correct? Lost both of her legs. The doctor came back to the husband and said, and by the way, this is friends of Miles, I understand, from the church up there, the family members. And the doctor said, we're going to have to amputate her arms as well. We're not going to do that now, but we're going to have to because she does not have the proper circulation. The infection has moved into her hands and so forth. She's how old? 25? Yeah. Somewhere in her mid-20s. Two little children at home. One of them's a baby, just born, two and four. Young family. And here she is going through this, and it's easy to immediately jump to what? The automatic response is, oh, what's God doing? I have to tell you, I have no idea. And neither do you. I'm praying for this young family. We were talking about how horrible it must be to know that you're never going to be able to take your children up in your arms ever again. How horrible it must be to know that you're going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. If she survives all this, there's some question that maybe she may not survive this. Not only is that on their plate, but one of their children, the youngest one, I believe, is in the hospital as well. He had to have cysts removed from his neck. He came down with fevered issues and had growths on his neck, and they ended up having to go in and remove those cysts. He's in another hospital across town from the mother. And this dad is going back and forth dealing with this. We look at that and say, oh, how horrible! And guess what it is? But when we start assigning motives, questioning, I wonder what sin was involved. Or, how could God allow this to happen? We need to understand that God knows the beginning from the end. His Son is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows everything. And He has a purpose. Do we know what that purpose is right now? The potential of a home without a mom? Do we know what God is doing? Do you know how common it was just 100 years ago for young families to lose moms in childbirth? You go up to the little cemetery, Bray Cemetery, right up the road there, and you will see rows of children, babies, infants. One of them, six children, mom and dad, six children. The last baby that was born died. All of them died within a few hours, or one of them lived to be 1 year old and then died. And you think about this couple that lived back in the early 1900s that went to six funerals. But what I found interesting is that the last baby, the death date and the mama's death date, same year. She died. Sometime during that year, she died. And you look at that and you say, oh, how horrible, how could God allow this to happen? Folks, we have to step back. I'm finite. God is infinite. I'm limited in my understandings. I don't know what God knows. So I have to step back from the situation and I have to be careful with this right here. Do I hear an amen? I got to be careful about this. Because I can say things that are just downright ugly and nasty and wrong when we need to step back and say, oh, you know, wait a minute. God has a perfect plan that He is unfolding. I don't know what's going to happen to this dear sweet mom that's lost her legs now and will lose her arms eventually if she lives because of this terrible disease that she got. But is God still good? Yes. Is God still gracious? Yes. Is God still the great physician? Yes. Does God know all these things? Yes. And then I look back inward and said, all right, who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust my mind trying to figure out the situation? Or am I going to trust my God who knows all things? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then what's that next phrase? Lean not to your own understanding. Whoa, stop right there. Trust the Lord and stop something. What do we have a tendency to do? We lean to our own understanding of things. But God said, acknowledge Him in everything, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. God works. God works. One more story involving Chris's sister. She was married to a young man that graduated from Bob Jones University that went to Guatemala, I believe it was, as missionaries. Served the Lord there, and after several years, he comes down with cancer. Ends up having to come back to the States and eventually passed away. And that was the end of their quote-unquote ministry. And I remember during those times, who's going to step in and take that spot? And there was all kinds of questions and so forth. What's happened here? God supplied. God supplied missionaries to take their place. And God worked in such a way to lead Heidi to another young man. Many of you got to meet him, Mark. He was at the wedding here. And God blessed in such a way, he stepped right in there and raised that family. How many were there? Five kids. When John passed away, there were five kids. And Mark stepped in, and he loved them like only a father could love them. It's an amazing story of how God worked that out. Can God do that? Yes, He can. What do I need to do? I need to stop leaning to my own understanding and in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Naomi struggled here. I'm not going to be accusatory of her because I walk in the same shoes. I do the same kind of thinking, and so do you. We all do. There are just natural inclinations of the human heart and the human mind to try to sort all these things out in our thinking. What do you think about this? Well, I think I've considered this. We've all said this. We have to tug on our britches a little bit. I've considered this, and I've come to the conclusion. And then we spout our ignorance. Yeah. Naomi said, God's hand has been heavy against me. I am grieved that His heaviness on me has affected you girls. Go back to your parents. Was that the right choice for Naomi to push them away?
I don't think so. And why did she do that? She was affected by what had happened to her. But Ruth steps up to the plate. Look at these thoughts here from Ruth in chapter 1, and we'll close. Notice this. Verse 16. And Ruth said, now what had just happened? Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Who responded rightly? Ruth did. Ruth did. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And woe, that last phrase, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's pretty strong language, is it not? How many times does she invoke the name of the Lord in this little statement? Thy God shall be my God. The Lord do so unto me if I don't do what I said that I'm going to do. She invokes the name of the Lord here because something has happened in her thinking. This God cannot be a God that is intimidating and is trying to destroy my mother-in-law. These things were going to happen. My father-in-law was going to die. My husband, Mahlon, was going to die. Chilion was going to die. These things happen. God is good. And we find that God just comes in and just shows Himself mighty and powerful. What a story, the book of Ruth. The ebbs and flows throughout the book. Boaz says, I'll be the kinsman redeemer, but, oh no, this is going to go like an Aunt Carolyn story. Yeah, it's going to go south real quick, and then it's going to build back up again. There's a closer kinsman, and we have to contact him first. I can imagine Ruth. Do we have to? Do we really have to do this, Boaz? I love you. Well, there's a closer kinsman. And he shows up, but the whole storyline just goes back and forth. And finally, what does he do? He backs out of the deal. And Boaz steps in. What a beautiful picture. That kinsman is included in Scripture to show how other substitutes never finish the job. The ones that God chooses do. Amen? What a beautiful picture. God had chosen Boaz. And so he works it all out. And you say, now why couldn't we just skip that part and just go to the wedding? Right? Let's read the last chapter first. How many of you do that when you get a book? Do you read the last chapter? What is wrong with you? Yeah, I've been tempted many, many times. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep reading. I got four books I'm reading right now. And I'm halfway through all four of them. And on two of them, I've been tempted to jump to the last chapter because I want to find out so bad what's going on, but I'm not going to do it. Because I won't understand the last chapter if I've skipped over the other chapters. Those chapters have to take place. And the things that happened to Ruth had to take place so that God could be glorified in all the things that He led her through. Amen? And God's leading every one of us through every kind of a possible scenario that can happen in life. He's leading us through. But don't forget, He's leading you through. Don't blame the leader. Don't blame the leader for where He takes you. Trust in the Lord always. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He, say it with me, shall direct your path. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the Word of God. How powerful it is. It's easy. We're just like Naomi. We like to try to figure things out and come to conclusions, and sometimes we're right, but many times we're wrong, especially when we draw conclusions about what you're doing, because you're infinite. Your purposes are free from error. Your will is free from contamination. Our will is always contaminated because we live in sinful bodies. I pray that you'd help us to trust in you always and lean not unto our own understanding, but that we would in all things acknowledge you and allow you to direct our paths. Father, we thank you for how you directed in both of these ladies, Naomi and Ruth, how you directed in Boaz's life, how you directed that David should be born among the family that went back to Ruth and Boaz. All these are beautiful pictures of your sovereignty and of your providence. I pray that you'd help us to understand more clearly that we've got to be careful that we don't judge wrongly what you're doing, but that we would just step back and just trust you, knowing that you have a perfect plan that you're unfolding. We thank you, Father, for the story of Ruth. May we continue to learn as we study, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.